Well, thank you so much for being, how do we say, participators instead of bystanders. Many times we sit and we watch, but God is moving and we really want to step and join Him as He moves and to be open to be used by Him. Here at C4, we've been kind of looking at who are we? We ask the question to you, who are you? And so we get this question about our identity. Who are we in Christ? What does the Bible say to us? And I've only gotten into a little bit about that, but we, in the next few weeks, when it's my turn to speak, I'd like to talk to us about who we are in Christ as a child of God and what that looks like. I'd like us to look at in Christ that we are accepted and how that looks. But today, knowing that we were going to pray, I just have a few notes sort of to remind us about this whole area of being in Christ and our identity. We'll go to the next slide here. And I'd like us just to declare these truths about who we are. If you'd like to, put your name where the blank is. I know it seems a little bit funny, but when these truths are written in the Bible, they were to real people, real places and times, and that's us. We are real people in real places and times, and the Word of God is still true for us today. So as the body of Christ, let's declare this. I, Kurt Tallman, am in Christ. One more time. I, Kurt Tallman, am in Christ. Next. If I know the truth of Jesus, the truth will set me free. Next. In Christ, I, Kurt Tallman, am a new creation. Old has gone, the new has come. That seems a bit freeing there. And next, I, Kurt Tallman, am a child of God. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. And we're going to look at that a little bit next week. And again, Esther, really, as we go through this series, again, we don't want to be bystanders, but participators. That we want to be going through life with God, to know and live that truth here and outside these walls, to know and live our new identity in Christ, because a lot of times the old identity hangs on to us and we struggle with it. And last of all, if there's any areas of strongholds, to be set free from those and to live for Jesus. Now, going to the next slide, we remember that we talked about putting on our new identity many times is a bit difficult. And we talked last time about why is that. And really, in the world of the earthly world, it's hard for us to know about the spiritual. But the Bible tells us very clearly that there is an evil one, and that evil one opposes the kingdom of God and God's work in our life. And it's very true. He's not just a Halloween character dressed up in a red suit, but something more than that, and works to discourage us in being and living in Christ. Satan really opposes us and the new identity we try to put on. Go to the next slide. Can anybody identify this picture? What that might be? Anyone? Oxford University? No. What? Not a parking lot. An old castle is close. It looks like something that holds something in. Actually, it's a cage. This must be a building. This must be a building over here. And this must be the cage with a deep sort of moat and then a walkway for people. It's a zoo. And in this cage is for who? Go to the next slide. It's this Siberian tiger, 350 pounds, that was encaged, imprisoned. And unfortunately, in December of, actually Christmas Day of 2007, Carlos Sasta didn't make it because the Siberian tiger somehow found its way out of the cage, mauled two people, and mauled Carlos, and Carlos didn't make it. Now, if we ask the question, which is safer, a tiger that is caged or a tiger that is free? We would go to the zoo and we like, that is nice. That nice distance of moat, that nice caged animal, we can view. But this tiger escaped. Mauled two people, killed one. What was the problem? We're like, hey, come on, Pastor, that's pretty obvious. He killed a guy. He mauled two people. But I would say more of the problem is that the tiger was being, he or she, I'm not sure if it's he or she, the tiger was being who he or she was created to be. And I think Satan is very, and you're like, where are you going with this, Pastor? How are you relating this? I think Satan is very, very happy when you and I are living in our cage on display. Because as soon as we escape that cage which he has us living in or believing we should live in, then we begin to be who he created us to be. And sorry to say, for him, for Satan, that is dangerous. Because when you begin to be who Christ created you to be, you begin to live in a life of freedom. When you see people who are ill or hurting, you say, wow, God has made me someone who has compassion for them, and he's given me the power of prayer. I want to go and I want to pray for them. Satan doesn't like that. Those people are blessed. They begin to be set free. Satan wants to keep you caged. That when we become free, that we begin to love and serve and care for people because we know who we are and we know what our purpose is. But I mean, I have to be honest that a lot of things keep us encaged. Our past, things that have happened in the past, keep us in bondage, and it's hard for us to break free of those to live in a new way. People might have said to you when you were young, you're stupid. You'll never amount to anything. And they've said it over, and you begin to put this in your mind to say, you are right. Some of us, I've kind of seen, as I've seen Bennett here at the church, is I think somehow we've gotten a little bit of the ideal, you know, that in the past, maybe I'm not so athletic, but I start seeing people come out doing triathlons and starting to play ultimate frisbee, and there starts to be this new aspect like, hey, you know, some reason I thought I wasn't athletic, but I actually am. I like to run. It's just this thing that some reason in the past, and now we begin to set free. Religious traditions become our identity instead of Christ. That somehow when we come in, we need to sit a certain way because of the certain tradition we have. We worship in a certain way because of the certain tradition we've had. We don't worship in Christ. We worship in our tradition. Amen? Yeah. In a sense, that is keeping us in a imprisonment not to be all that Christ created us to be. That when we pray, how do we pray? Hands together, face down, silent. Nothing wrong with that, but is there more? There is. That lies have become our identity, our imprisonment, our cage. When I was young, I grew up on a farm, and I was the second son. My dad owned some land, and it was a farmer. And for some reason, it really got into my mind, and I don't know if it was certain suggestions or innuendos coming from dad or others, that I should be the one who took over the farm. God called me to be a pastor, and I'm like, oh man, got to tell dad, it's not going to happen. I'm not taking over the farm. I'm going to go off and preach the word of God. But that became a stronghold in my life, a lie that now my earthly father does not love me because I did not fulfill his expectations. And so it very much led me to a point of a struggle and a bondage that I was not accepted and not loved. Some of us may have a similar feeling. But it began to restrict me from going on to be all that God had called me to be. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed, the Word of God says. So if we are in Christ, and we have received His salvation, we need to look at areas that we aren't free. And ask the Lord to set us free so that He can be our center and that we can begin to live for all that He created us to be. Matthew 16:13. If you can turn there in your Bibles. Satan really opposes our new identity in Christ. And I like this to look at this passage about identity. Verses 13 through 15, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter, he steps up and says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What is he doing there? He's declaring Jesus' true identity, and behind that is the power of God. We go on to verse 16, Simon Peter, or 17, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by your Father in heaven." Who does he address? Simon, son of Jonah. That's sort of his name. But he has another name, right? It is Peter, and we'll look at that name later. But he says, "This has been revealed to you, not by man or not by a worldly way, but by the Father in heaven." That this declaration of Christ and his identity, Jesus as the Son of God in Christ, is a spiritual matter, is from God in heaven above. He goes on to say, verse 18, which there's a lot of confusion about, "And I tell you," what does he say? "You are Peter." Peter says, Jesus says, who am I? Peter says, you are Christ, the Son of God. Jesus comes back and says, yeah, and you are Peter. Not Simon, but Peter. The new name, the new identity. And a lot of times people think that Peter is who the church is founded on. But verse 18 goes on to say, and on this rock, that rock is Christ. Is that identity of Christ. And I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Now, a lot of times we think of an example of the church sort of cowering in the corner. It's got its gates up, holding out the evil one. As the evil one bangs on the doors, and you're like, we are the church, the gates of Hades will not overcome us. But actually, the picture should be of Satan and the gates of Hades and the church outside beating on the door. And the understanding is that the gates of Hades will not prevail. In Greek is a sense of against, not strong. And we, the church, in Christ, in that new identity that we have, we beat against those who are encaged or imprisoned to set them free. And when the Son sets them free, they're free indeed. And they can walk out and live for Him. We, the church, in Christ, should be a bit dangerous. And then we're all thinking, oh, you know, we're peace, brother. But no, if Satan has captured someone and he has taken them and imprisoned them, we should go in and break them free. We should be dangerous. As Jesus recounts in the book of Luke, chapter 10, it says, 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Says he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What do we rejoice about? That our names are in heaven. That we are in Christ. And it very much shows that in Christ we can rejoice, because when we live and we free to be who we have been created to be, Satan will fall like lightning from heaven. That we will bust down the gates of Hades. That we will set people free. To be in Christ, to be effective, to be dangerous, to be free. I encourage you, if you find someone who is hurting, in need, or even who is not, and you feel the Lord leading you to pray for them, pray for them. And you feel the Lord leading you to pray for healing, pray in the name of Jesus Christ. To live for Him, to be in Him, to be dangerous for Him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that today we could be who You created us to be, praying, blessing others, asking You, Jesus, to work through us. I thank You for the image of people moving around the room, being the body of Christ. Thank You for blessing us today, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. Amen.